Well, it's really good to have Pastor Nell with us and my wife Joy with us tonight. That's a joke amongst the staff. And we're here tonight talking about marriages, relationships, not just if you're married, also we're talking about just family relationships and relationships in general. And Sister Nell, it's great to have you dressed in red. We forgot to dress in red, but you are the lady in red tonight.
Thank you.
Praise God. Now you've been married for 63 years.
No, 163.
163 years. I know that Pastor Fred, just before he went on to be with the Lord, because the Bible talks about 5 crowns, but he said he's going to have 6 crowns. Can you tell us a bit about that?
It was our anniversary, so Wendy walked in and she said, "So, Dad, on Monday it's going to be your anniversary and you're going to be married 63 years. No, he said, not 60. No, he was talking about crowns.
And the Bible teaches that there's 5 crowns.
There's going to be the soul winner's crown, the martyr's crown, and there's 5. So, and she and him are always got the Bible going and everything. So he said, "No, Wendy, I'm going to get 6 crowns. So she said, "Dad, how come you're going to get 6 crowns? Yes, I've been married to your mother 165 years. So I said, "Thank you."
So the 6th crown was being married to Sister Nell. Okay.
Yeah.
But Sister Nell, what would you say is the secret? Let's talk about marriages because that's where we're starting from. What would you say is the secret to a happy, successful, fruitful, blessed marriage?
John, it's how we begin. Because how we begin is going to be how we're going to finish. And it's very important for us that when we make this decision, it's not a contract, it's a covenant. It's important that we get to know one another before we get married. It's no use afterwards and you don't know who you're marrying because you had this beautiful thing come or this good-looking guy with the muscles and, you know what, you know, it's just fallen from heaven and whatever. And, you know, it's such a wrong concept that we have. It's important, number one, that if you're born again, because that's what we're talking about. And Pastor John read this morning about what God's idea is about love. It's kind. You know, it's so important to read 1 Corinthians 13. And so when we get the nature of God, then we should have that same kind of love. We should start growing that kind of love in our heart. So tonight when I can talk from my platform and my normal is coming from a Christian home. I don't know anything else. I know about a father who fasts and prays and seeks God. So that's my concept, what's normal to me. What was Pastor Fred's normal was he had a father and a mother who loved God and served God. So our normals were normal. It wasn't like his mother and father got divorced or there was family problems and, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of us are coming out of that and we are making decisions to get married. And many times it's cross-culture as well. And so some people eat this way. Pastor John eats Italian, and he was wanting 3 meals a day. And Joy said, "Well, listen, no, we don't eat like that in this house." And so, you know, we've got to get to understand one another before we even make such an important decision. Because the most important decision in our lives is to allow Jesus to come and be the Lord of our heart. Because when we stand at that altar, we are really saying for better, for worse, for sickness or in health. So we're making a promise that I'm going to give my heart and my life to you. And he's saying, "I'm going to do the same to you." So when we're born again Christians, it's not just, well, we get together and praise the Lord. You know, the first year, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And after we realize he's not picking up his socks and he's not doing that, it's not hallelujah, praise the Lord anymore. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. And so when all that fun and what is all over, then we're looking and you're looking at her and she don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Her head is sore and what. And when she meets you at the door, she's still in her pajamas. And you think, my goodness, look how pretty she was before all this started. And now we're married and he don't want to go to work and he's lying there. And, oh, shame, I'll change him. You know, they stand when they're making their vows. Well, I can change him. You know, he's not a Christian, but I can change him. Forget about it, girl. You're not going to change any man. I was married 63 years, and I never changed him. They're going to do what they want to do. And so it's very important that we understand, you know, our decisions are so important. And, you know, God only deals with truth. You can't lie. If you want God to be in your life, you've got to be the truth. It's important, and you've got to be the truth to each other. You can't have your cell phone, and she's got hers, and you don't look at her cell phone, his cell phone. You're not allowed. Find me out. You'll get find out. I'll find out. What's your bank account? No, that's got nothing to do with you. You better find out. I'll find out. Where's your money, friend? Have you got money? It's important for us to be totally honest with each other. You know, Pastor Fred and I, we used to share our salary. When it was small, we used to share. I used to do all the house things, buy the groceries, look after the children, do what he did, looking after the house. There was never secrets or him standing and getting groceries. Have you seen the men when you're getting groceries? They stand there, you know. I would give him a slap. Come and tell me. I've got to feed him. Now he's telling me and taking his wallet out. And then he's looking inside his wallet. Hey, I've got to feed you, man. Give me money. Yeah. It's true. You know, it's so important for us to be totally honest with each other. Because we'll never have a successful marriage. You're going to be different. We're born imperfect. You marry an imperfect woman and she marries an imperfect man. But you know what? When we have Jesus, the head of our home, and we read his word and understand what his laws are, because his laws are love for each other. You can read the Bible and it deals with everything. You know, I was having family troubles. You know, I had four children. Three of them was naughty as anything. They weren't angels. They were up to nonsense all the time. But you know what? They used to be petrified of me because, well, what have you been up to? No, Mom, you know, Mom. I said, hey, don't come Mom me, yeah. So I understand family problems, and I was praying to the Lord one day, and I said, Lord, you know what? I don't know where this family comes from. I don't know where these girls and this boy comes from, you know. The Lord said, don't worry, I had problems in my first family as well. He said, lucky you don't have a murderer in your family. I had a murderer in mine. And so we got to understand that all of us have family problems. It's not, you know, people don't want you to know that you got family problems. We all got it. We have naughty kids, we have good kids. Some people are very fortunate in having these wonderful children. I'd like to meet that family, you know, where it has these wonderful children, you know. But anyway, it's wonderful to know that you can be mothers and fathers and pray for your children and see God change them. And so now, Pastor, am I all right? So as young people, you know, before you're married, I want to tell you it's very important who you're marrying. I just had a phone call this last week. We had a young man come to this church, and when I looked at him in school, I know the school, she grew up in a Christian home, love God. And I looked at this guy, and oh, he was beautiful and wonderful, and he's got the anointing, and he came and knelt before Pastor Fred and asked, and Pastor Fred said, no, I'm not praying for you. I pray God to bless you, but this other nonsense, you know, he didn't say that, but I knew he thought that. But it's important that you know who you're marrying. Go home. Go home who you're going to marry. Go and see who it is. Go and see what their mother and father are like. And let him come to your house and see what your mother and father are like. Don't be stupid and say, I'm not going to bring him to my house. You better bring him to your house. You're going to live with him. And you don't know what his normal is. You don't know what his normal is. Some people don't have a normal. And it's very, very sad that people don't have a normal. They, you know, mothers and fathers are example. A woman teaches her daughters how to love her husband. A husband teaches his children how to honor his wife and respect his wife. Where else are they going to get it if they don't get it from us? So we, as God's children, have got to be an example, because when we go home, our children don't care how much we dance and say hallelujah here. They're worrying about what's at home. They hear how we talk to each other. They hear how we argue. They see how we say ugly things to each other. The children see it. And it's them, the people that grow up in the church. And you know, you normally see children that grow up in the church, when they go to university, they lose their faith because they don't know the Word of God. They don't take time to find out, what does God say about this? And of course, you want to be part of the world. You know, I remember when Wendy was a teenager and it was all the flower people. Who can remember? I suppose that's too long ago. But anyway, who remembers the flower people? And they were wearing roses and they were bowing down. And they said to her at high school, they said to her, oh, you know, your mother and father brainwashed you as a Christian. So now, you know, so you don't know anything else. So young people, what do they want to do? They want to be with the crowd. You know, well, I don't want to be different. I want to be, you know, so they try a little bit of this and they try a little bit of that and, you know, and they want to discover. But young people, listen to me today. I want to tell you that the devil is planning to destroy you. And, you know, when you don't have a frame of reference, and when you're young, especially from 15, 16, 17, 18, you got to make your decisions. You got to make your boundaries. You got to make your values known to whoever you're going out with. You say, I'm not going to do that. Well, you just this, that, and it doesn't make any difference. You know what? They'll respect you more because you're taking a stand for what's right. And you know what? Young people today are looking for truth. They're looking for truth. And if we are not born again, and we are not the truth. And it makes me really, really nervous today when people say, I'm a Christian, you know, come and do business with me. Don't be stupid, man. It's very important who you go into contracts with. Because if they're not upright, they bring you in and you lose your name. And when you've lost your name, you've lost everything. And so you've got to build up a good reputation. And you know, it's not how you start in life, it's how you end. And you need to know how to end well. End your life well. So if you don't plan goals now, if you don't say, I'm going to get here by the end of the year, perhaps you don't do it in 3 months. But you know what? You're going to get there if you plan. If you don't plan, you're going nowhere. And so if you're planning to get married, if you're planning to go with somebody, then you really need to know, I'm planning to live the rest of my life with this person. If he's telling you, hey, listen, and phoning you all the time, where are you? He's needy, man. You don't need a needy person in your life. Or she's calling you, where are you now? What are you doing? Oh, shame, what? No, you don't need needy people in your life. You know what? If you don't love yourself and know who you are, and know what your boundaries are and what your values are, people will walk over your boundaries. If your husband doesn't know what your boundaries are, he'll walk over it. You know, people talk ugly to one another. I say, hey, 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 who are you talking to? Amen. You know, Pastor Fred, he was very quiet. Pastor Fred, I wanted to kill him, you know? You know how us girls, we want to answer. You know that? You know, men don't answer you. How many know that men don't answer them? Come on, support me tonight. You say to a man, what you thinking? He says nothing. Yeah. Have you ever known a woman just say, I'm thinking nothing? Have you? Because, you know, men have got little boxes. You know, they open up the rugby box. And you can come in there, and all he'll tell you, have you seen what that, did you see that kick? You say, forget about the kick, man. I want to talk to you. But he doesn't hear. You got to wait for him to close that little box, and then wait to open when he's going to listen to you. But us girls are not like that. We're cleaning, and we're cooking, and we're looking all over, listening to the telephone, and you think, I remember we were young, and my kids were all small, and I was cooking, and Pastor Fred was bathing the children, and the phone rang. So I shouted, hey, Fred, answer the phone. He says, how can I answer the phone? I'm bathing the kids. I said, I'm cooking. And so we've got to know men are different from women. I used to think, man, what's the matter with Fred? Why doesn't he think like me? He's never going to think like you. Because men think differently. I remember him coming home one day, and because I was doing my housework and looking after the kids, and when he came home and all the rest of it, and I said to him, I'm so sick and tired of this house. Now, I was meaning that I've been in the house all day, and I need to get a break. His reply to me was, but honey, this is the best house I could afford. I'm not saying that. So we've got to start to learn and understand what our husbands are actually saying, and husbands, listen to what your wife is saying. She wants to talk. When you come home from work, you don't want to talk. You want to sit there, you want to look at the TV. She's been by herself all day. She's had all this bunch of naughty kids. She wants to tell you about them. No, you don't want to listen. Men are deaf. Absolutely. They only open the ears to selective hearing. You know your husbands are deaf. They got selective hearing. Pastor Fred knew nothing. He didn't hear anything. Then I used to say something about the church and straight away say, what you say? What you say? So ladies, we've got to understand, you young people, please, don't be in a hurry to get married. Get to know who you're going to marry. Young guys, be careful who you marry. Especially when you're in the ministry. If the girl you want to marry, she's not in the church working and in the Sunday school and helping in the church, tell her, go. She don't want to help you. She's not in church here. When we ran the church, every time was church that opened, the husband and wife were sitting in the front seats. Sometimes I don't see the pastor's wives here. I think, where are they? For the home. Home. I never knew that to be home when it's time for church. When I'm on staff, I'm getting paid to be here, aren't I? Amen. Oh my gosh, I better not go down that road.
Sister Nell, talk to us a little bit about how important the heart is, because we were talking about that a while ago, and how Proverbs 4:24 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. How important is the heart, and also the ability to forgive?
Absolutely. You know, issues, all of us have issues. And you know, when issues start when we're little children, we get a misconception about something. And so our concept of what's happened when we are little affects the rest of our life. And the devil takes that opportunity and he makes it an idol in our minds. And so everything we think, so if we think our mother and father didn't love us and it was an issue from when we were young, it's going to be like a little idol in our minds. And so it doesn't matter how much your husband loves you or how much anybody loves you. You cannot conceive that love, because this little idol that's in your mind, this issue that you have in your mind, You know, I had an issue of nobody loving me. And I can remember praying when I was a teenager. And all I prayed was, Jesus, do you love me? Do you love me? And I remember it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was praying this. And a voice behind me said, is my word not enough? But you know, when I was a little girl, I ran to my father. And I must have been about 4 years old. And when I ran to him, he pushed me aside. Not meaning, because I never understood what it was, but the devil took that opportunity. And it grew. As I grew older, it grew bigger and bigger in my mind. So I always thought, and I knew Pastor Fred loved me, but I never conceived it. I knew I loved him. But you know what? When you have that issue in your mind, you can't give love and you can't receive love. Because you start getting depressed, and all the time you feel that nobody loves you. So I hated to be in company because I felt that I was never welcome. And so it affected our marriage a whole lot because of this issue. And so depression came in, and I would go to sleep. I think if I knew about a few dops, Pastor John, I would have had a few dops or taken drugs because I used to hide away by sleeping. And so I used to put the alarm on because I would go to sleep because I was trying to get peace in my heart. Because I really didn't understand the word. But then when I heard the word of God, where the Bible says, now faith is now. And when I understood that God will answer my prayer, me, Nellie Roberts, God will hear me, because in the church we were in, the old Pentecostal church, it had to be a special pastor. It had to be somebody special, and they lay your hands on, and then God would hear you. We even used to sing that song, Jesus is passing this way. Well, we thought, well, if he didn't come this week, next week he'd come. You know, that was the concept that I had. But when the Lord healed me, and I understood, because the Lord said to me, you must forgive your neighbor like you forgive yourself. And I said to the Lord, but I hate myself. I mean, Lord, when you look inside here, I'm criticizing, and I'm ugly, and I'm ugly to Pastor Fred, and I'm ugly to, it's inside of me here, and I hate it. And I asked the Lord, where did this come from? And the Lord told me, when you were a little girl, and your dad pushed you away like that, the devil took that opportunity. Now, I don't know what happened to you. When you were little and you have an issue, identify it and ask the Lord, where does it come from? Because if that issue and that thought keeps coming in your mind, and then you can't forgive, because you'll always say, hey, you remember. You remember. How many times we say that in marriage? Oh, you remember what you did to me in 20 years ago. And your husband never lets you forget it, and your wife never lets you forget it, and you go over and over and over. But you know, the Bible says, guard your heart. See, God only deals with the heart. You can lie, you can bluff, you can do what you like. God only deals with the heart. You know, I was just talking to Pastor John Cumming. I remember my father when they had the first heart transplant. Remember when they had the first... And my father said, now they're playing the fool with God. And we said to him as young people, oh, Dad, it's only an organ that keeps your body going. No, no, no. If the Lord says you've got to serve me with all your heart, whenever God talks to us, he's talking about the heart. And you know that your heart has memories. Because if you have many people that have had heart transplants, they start lacking the things that people had from the heart that they put into them. It's medically proved. And I don't want to go into that, but your heart is making memories. And you are the one that's got to answer for those memories. And if you don't deal with those things that the devil has put on you, and I know some of you, I see in the spirit, some of you have come from tragic backgrounds. But tonight, let the Lord heal you. You say, how does it happen? Forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is the most costly thing in life. And it's very rare. Very few people know how to forgive. And I'll never forget when I was kneeling in Dallas, Texas, and the Lord said to me to love your neighbor like yourself. And the Lord said to me, I started to forgive my father in my heart, and I started to forgive different people. You know, being in the ministry and pastors and all the rest of it, you know a lot of things, and you build up not nice thoughts about them. And the Lord said to me, you must forgive your neighbor like you forgive yourself. And then I said to the Lord, but how can I forgive? And the Lord said to me, how do you want me to forgive you? I said, Lord, I never want you to hold it against me ever again. He said, that's how I want you to forgive. Because you know, when you forgive, you forget. The Bible says that God puts it in his sea of forgetfulness. He never holds it against us ever again. And so you don't have to worry whether God's remembering. God forgets. Isn't that wonderful? He gives you a whole brand new life. You know, after the Lord healed me, we were living in Dallas, Texas, and Pastor Fred was, you know, traveling and preaching, and because he was the big problem. So every time I prayed, Lord, you know, you've got to deal with Fred. But you know what? When I was healed, the Lord said, it's you. You're the problem. And so Pastor Fred was still in the south of America, the south of America, and was preaching, and I was going to go and see him. And I hadn't seen him for like a month because he had been preaching all over, and Wendy and Neville and Llewellyn, they were in Bible school. And I got on a plane, and he was preaching when I got there. And so when I got to the room afterwards, I was telling him how beautiful and wonderful he is. And now the poor guy, I had been very hard on him, you know. Because before he'd say, well, how did I preach? I'd say, awful. Imagine those poor people. They go, listen to you. And this is true now. I'm not lying. And I want you to know how serious this is. Because you know what? The devil wants to destroy your family. The main thing he wants to destroy you and your wife. Because he knows when he destroys you as a couple, he destroys your family. And that's what he's going for. And when I got in the room and I was telling Pastor Fred what happened, and I'm so excited and, honey this and honey that, you know. Afterwards, he said to me, sweetheart, you didn't have a... Because it was a whole new speech coming out of my mouth. After a month, we came back to South Africa. And because I was saying, come on, honey, we're going for God. We're going to build Jesus' church. And wah, wah, wah. And I'm so excited. And I'll never forget, he sat me in the lounge and he said, sweetheart, you know, I've got to get used to you. Because God can change us. And we can build our husbands up. You know, if we build our husbands, we're building ourselves, ladies. You know, if you insult your husband, you're insulting yourself. And if a husband disrespects and dishonors his wife, the Lord's going to hold him guilty, because he says, the Lord's word says that a man must love his wife like he loves himself. Isn't God honest? Men love themselves, eh? Hey, come on, laugh, because it's the truth. If God says so, then you know that it's the truth. Hey? Have you seen the men looking in the glass? Look at the muscles, you know. But aren't they wonderful? Men are wonderful, that God gives you a good man. Amen? And God gives us a good woman. And so forgiveness is costly. It's going to cost you everything. But how are you going to forgive? I know people have had businesses and people have run, you know, been unfaithful to you in your business, and they've stolen your money, or husbands and wives, and people are getting divorced today, and even in the church, people get divorced. But you know, that's what the devil wants, is to destroy our marriage, because he destroys us. Because if you get divorced, you're still bound to that lady because you made a covenant with her. You're still bound to that man that you've made a covenant with. And you young people, you're sleeping around. You're binding yourself to those spirits. Listen to what I'm saying. You are. And you think, oh, well, it's fine. You know, nobody knows. It's not. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You can't play around with your body. And you know, we're going to stand before the Lord one day. Whether you're a Christian, you want to be a Christian, you don't want to be a Christian, you and I are going to stand before the Lord one day. And we've got to give an account what we've done with this body. And so it's important for us as, you know, the Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Now, if we're not doing that, the blood doesn't cleanse us. So we open ourselves to evil spirits. And so it's important for us to be honest with one another. Honest in our marriage. If so, you know, instead of dealing with problems, we don't. We say unkind things to each other. We attack each other. And we don't attack the problem. If you're mad and you're both mad at each other, take time when you've calmed down and you cool down and said, now we're going to talk about this problem. Otherwise, you're going to just keep fighting all the time instead of forgiving. And it's so important for us to forgive. Because when we forgive, we realize that each one of us in our relationship is not perfect. And then we learn, as wives, we learn, it's not a good day to talk to your husband today. You know, you look at his face, not talk today. But if you go and talk the wrong time, you're in trouble, girls. And the same with the man. You must know which time. You hear what I'm saying, Albie? You see, he's even got a red. He's got red on tonight. His wife's going to teach him right, I see. Good for you, Albie. I'll have to give you some lessons. See, okay. But the Bible says, let the old woman teach the young people how to love their husbands. And Joy and I are going to have some meetings, and we're going to teach the ladies how to love their husbands. So I guess we'll have a
Amen.
Good time.
So, Mom, we don't fall out of love. We fall out of forgiveness with one another, because nobody goes into a marriage planning to fail. I mean, we all want to, you know, have a successful marriage. And we don't fall out of love. We fall out of forgiveness. And let me just ask, I know there's a whole lot of questions here, and you've answered quite a few of them, but the one that I want to ask you is, somebody wrote here, we've been dating for 8 years, and he's not asked me yet. What should you do?
If he's getting milk, why should he pay for it?
And is it okay to date that person if they're not saved?
Ooh, my. Well, his values are not your values, and they're not God's values. So where are you going to start? Where's your beginning? You know, where are your beginning? Because his desires are going to be totally different than you if you're really born again, if you really love God. Because how can two walk together if they don't agree? You know, so you... And then, you know, I've heard over the years the girls say, well, I'll change him. You never change a man. Forget yourself. It never happens. Men don't change. Only God can change them. Amen. My mother did it this way. Pastor Fred used to say that when I said, okay, there's your door. Go see your mother. Let her look after you. That's why he was married to me for 165.
That's why he got his extra crown now.
Oh, shy.
Here's a question now. Is it okay to live with my fiancé who has paid Labola but we are not married?
That's a very difficult question, Pastor John. You know, over the years we've understood that, and I know it's a lot of money that ladies have got to pay, or the parents. You know, Pastor Fred went to, when we were in the Lambra, and it was a funeral, and it was one of the SABC lady announcers, and she passed away. And we were sitting on the platform waiting for the coffin to come in. And so Pastor Nicholas said, we had been waiting like an hour. And so he said, no, the parents won't let the coffin come in because he hasn't paid Labola. So, you know, we understand working here in God's house and the challenges that young people have got. And, you know, normally Labola is a lot of money. And I know Pastor Fred gave a young man Labola that was part of the King's family. And we went up there for the wedding. I don't know if you came with us that time. And so I understand that. So it's a very difficult question. You know, like I said, cultures. And, you know, like something, you've got Zulu ladies and then you've got Khoza and the different tribes. And there's different laws and rules and all the rest of it. But, you know, when we come into the kingdom of God, then our laws and rules change, because if we're kingdom people, it doesn't matter where we live on the earth. We got to keep to the kingdom rules, you know. And so it's very hard to say.
But I think the important thing to ask is, what is it that really constitutes a marriage? And I think that's the key, because a marriage is not me having paid some money for somebody, yeah, which is part of my cultural customs, but it's the vow, the exchanging, the covenant, as we come. Because remember, the Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So a relationship is about a man, a woman, and it's God. And so what is it that constitutes a marriage, that makes it marriage in the eyes of God? And I think, as you've rightly said, we come out of the world. We come out of our cultural differences and we take on the kingdom culture. And I think that's an important thing.
Very important.
And we can still bring in the culture, but it needs to line up with the word of God. And we bring it, like I always say, we bring it through the cross. So I would say to people, if he's paid Labola and he's your fiance, that, you know, what is it that constitutes a marriage? Has there been a covenant? Have you exchanged vows before God? I mean, even if you go to the courts, that really is just, you know, something that's legal. It's just something that is on paper. So the important thing is, what is it that constitutes a marriage? And I believe that it's the two people coming together and God being the witness. And when you say to her, I will, and she says to you, I will, God then puts his I will on that marriage, and it becomes an institution. So we bring love to the table, but God brings the covenant of marriage and the institution of marriage. And I think if we can just use that as a frame of reference, because I also don't understand all the intricacies of the culture and the Labola and all of that. But I understand that it's something that, you know, has to be done. But I again say, we bring it through the cross, because this is really not between you and the culture. It's between you and the King of all kings. And you are now in the kingdom. He's your king. So that is vital. The other thing, now that we were talking about how not to be unequally yoked. And I want to just tell people today, young people especially, that worldly people look for people like you. They target people like you. Why? Because there's a sense of, I know what is right and what is wrong. I have godly values, you know, and I've been preserved and protected from what's happening in the world. So you know, people out there, they look, I want that woman, I want that guy, because I get married to somebody out there and they're already messed up. But church people, you know, they've been in the church, they've been raised up godly, they've got godly parents. Who wouldn't want to marry someone like that? So you've got to be very, very careful. And that individual is not so much after you because of who you are, but because of what you have. So I, without offending people, I want to just, you know, sometimes we have the notion that when I marry them, I'll convert them. That's never going to happen. Once you get married to that guy, that's it. He's got what he's wanted. And so don't be even surprised if his behavior starts to change. So that's very important. I think, Joy, you said something about how that if she would find a man, that you said to the Lord, how do I know that he's the one? And the Lord said to you, if he loves me more than you, he's the one.
It's so true, Pastor John. You know, just say God takes everything away from me. Let me just put this in. I remember coming from church one Sunday, and of course there were a lot of questions in my heart. Pastor Fred has been so sick for so long. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why? You know, I can't understand why he's not healed. Why? And the Lord asked me a question as I was going home. He said, do you only love me because I answer prayer? Or do you love me? Think about that. Do you love God because he's a sugar daddy and he's handing out? Or do you love him if he took the thing that you love the most, he took it away? How? You're going to love him. Say, Father, whatever you say, I will do. See, the Bible says you leave mother and father, Pastor John. So many people bring a family into a marriage, you know. You can't do that. The Bible says when you leave your mother and father, you cling to your wife like a vine tree. That's how you miss your covenant and your love for each other.
Friends, I don't like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're either running God's race or you are not. And the moment you are born again, you qualify to run God's race. So today, perhaps as you are watching, you realize that your life is not right with God. Don't go another day, another moment, another hour, another second without putting right with God. The amazing thing is he is so loving and he loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what you can do or what you can say. His love for you never changes. But you know, as you've been watching, that there are things not right. And right now is a good moment. Don't wait for tomorrow, don't wait for next week, but right now is a divine moment. Heaven is open right now for you to respond, to come to Christ. And I know that there are people right now watching that are ready to either recommit their lives to Christ or to come fresh, never having come to Christ before. You can do it right now. Would you bow your heads and say after me, Heavenly Father, I ask you for forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I turn my back right now. I renounce the devil and all of his works, but you, Lord Jesus, I invite into my life right now. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank you for your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. And I come to you. I open every part of my life. And Jesus, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll never be the same. From this day onwards forever, I belong to you and you belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, I'm so glad that you've prayed that prayer. It's just a prayer of faith. It's a simple prayer. But I do believe that God heard the cry of your heart and that right now you're a child of God. And this is a time to celebrate. We'd like to celebrate this decision with you. So would you be so kind as to let us know what's happened in your life? Let us know if this is the first time you prayed this prayer or if you have any other prayer requests. Right now, the details are coming on your screen, or you can even SMS us your prayer request as well. We do have that facility available. And we're just so glad to be able to join our faith together with your faith and believe God for a miracle just for you. Well, that's about it. We've run out of time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, Jesus loves you so very much, and so do we.
For more information about DCC, follow us on all our social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, WhatsApp, and our website. We love doing life together with you here at Durban Christian Center, a house of prayer for all nations.